Would you agree with me, my friends, if I said that all of us at some or other stage in our lives have struggled with some tragedy? And unfortunately, these tragedies leave scars in our hearts, and they can clutter our hearts with reminding us of those difficult and those hard days. So here's my question to you today. Is it possible for God to turn tragedy into triumph if we are prepared to wait and to watch? Now, don't answer the question yet. Let's ask John, and the John I'm talking about is John the Evangelist, John the Disciple, not John the Baptizer. Let's ask John that question today and see what he answers, because I'm sure if he was here and we said, what do you think, can God turn tragedy into triumph? John would say, yes. But he'd also say, but let me explain. So let's ask John to explain, and I'm going to read two passages for you to do that. The one on Friday and the one on Sunday. And I want you to see the difference between Friday and Sunday. So John 19, verse 38 to 40, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. So afterward, Joseph of Arimathea, who had been a secret disciple of Jesus because he feared the Jewish leaders, asked Pilate for permission to take down Jesus' body. When Pilate gave permission, Joseph came and took the body away. With him came Nicodemus, the man who had come to Jesus at night. He brought about 75 pounds of perfumed ointment made from myrrh and aloes. Following Jewish burial custom, they wrapped Jesus' body with the spices in long sheets of linen cloth. So here we have two of Jesus's what I would call night disciples. And I call them that because they would always go to him at night. Secret disciples. Some of us are night disciples too, but that's a sermon for another day. We have two of Jesus's night disciples coming to serve Jesus for the last time after he died. They come to take his body to bury that. So Pilate gave permission. Joseph gave the grave. And Nicodemus, he gave the spices for the embalmment, and then he brought those things called linen cloths, or what we would call grave clothes. Now, I wonder if you noticed, and if you didn't, make a note of this, because I'm going to show you this in a little bit when we come to the Sunday passage. Did you notice the focus that John puts on the linen cloths, the grave clothes? Because you see, for John in this place, the linen cloth represents the tragedy of that Friday when Jesus died. But here's the thing. If there weren't any linen cloths, grave clothes, and there was no grave, there would still be a little bit of hope. Just maybe something could still happen. But the moment Nicodemus walked in there with those linen cloths and those spices, and they wrapped it around Jesus, put it in the grave, there was no more hope. For these grave clothes, these linen cloths, to John were an unmistakable reminder that his friend, that his future, that the hopes he had for Jesus, that the dreams he had of doing things with Jesus and being part of Jesus' kingdom, they were all dead, buried, closed behind a stone. Because here's the thing, my friends. As John stood there, John did not know what we know on this Easter Sunday. That the tragedy of Friday would become the triumph of Sunday. Now remember the question. Is it possible for God to turn a tragedy into a triumph if we are prepared to wait and watch? And that's why it's so important for us to know what John did on Saturday. And you're saying, Aubrey, but we don't read anything about what John did on Saturday. And you're right. But here's the thing. We know exactly what happened. Because when Sunday came, John was still there. When Mary came looking for him, she found him right there in Jerusalem. He hadn't gone away. And if there were people that needed to move and get out of there, was the disciples. John needed to get out because they were going to persecute them. They were going to look for them. And he had all the reasons in the world to take his stuff and get out of Jerusalem. But he didn't. He stayed. He waited. Why? Could it be because John loved Jesus? Interestingly enough, he always calls himself in the Gospel of John, you remember, the disciple that Jesus loved? Could it be that John stayed because John was holding on and waiting for what Jesus said? Because John saw in Jesus more than just a teacher, more than just someone who healed people, more than someone who just did miracles? He loved Jesus. Jesus was his friend. That was part of his life. And you don't just walk away. And if you think closely, John was always close to Jesus. In all of the pivotal moments. Who was the one who was against Jesus' chest when they were eating in the upper room on Thursday? Who was the one who was there with him praying in the garden? Who was the one on the mountain with him on Transfiguration? Who was the one who stood in front of that cross so that Jesus could look him right in the eye and say, "There is your mother. Take her and take care of her." He didn't leave. He waited. Do you think John understood what Jesus did? No. Do you think he would have liked what Jesus did? No. But did John leave? Turn his back? Walk away? No. So here's my question, and I'm sorry, it's a real personal question. But it's okay, you don't have to answer out loud. What do you do when it's Saturday in your life between Friday and Sunday? Do you stay? Or do you turn your back and you walk away? Well, here's the thing. Because John stayed, because John waited, John was privileged to experience the triumph of the Sunday after the tragedy of the Friday. Read that with me and see how it changes. John 20. Verse 1-8. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. There's the name, the one whom Jesus loved. And she said, "They've taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him." Peter and the other disciple started out for the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. Now notice the focus on the linen, please, folks. Verse 5. He stooped and looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. Typical Peter, right? He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there. While the cloth that covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. So here we have Mary Magdalene on that Sunday morning, coming, running to the disciples, and she finds Peter and John, and she says, "The tomb is open." And the implication is they've stolen the Lord Jesus' body. Peter and John in a foot race. There they go. John is first. John gets to the grave, and John looks right in, and what he sees just stops him in his tracks. What did he see? I told you to take note of how important the linen cloths were to him. Because remember, linen cloth, chapter 19, represented death and loss and tragedy. And now John looks in, and what he sees stops him in his tracks, because what he sees is this. The linen cloth, completely different. Because if we read this in the Greek, the Greek uses an interesting word for how the cloths look like. The Greek word is kamai. Kamai means to be rolled up neatly or to be folded in place. John looks in. And what John sees is not a body rolled in these linen cloths. He sees linen cloths that are rolled up neatly, folded neatly, put away, and the other cloth from the head lying on the other side. And that changed everything for John. Because here's the thing, my friends. If the body was stolen, they wouldn't take time to take off the linen cloths very nicely and then fold them and put them there. They just take the whole body with everything. If the disciples came and they wanted to steal the body, they were not going to take the cloths off. They were going to take the body right like that and disperse of the cloths much later. If the soldiers were in a hurry and they just took them off, they would have just left them there. They wouldn't fold them and roll them. When John sees those cloths in the way that they're folded and they're left, in that moment, that symbol of Friday, of death and loss, changes into a symbol of hope and triumph. And that's why we read in verse 8, and John went in and he saw and he believed. Friday, tragedy. Saturday, John waited. And Sunday, John saw and believed. So here's the thing, my friends. Is it possible for God to turn the tragedy of a Friday into the triumph of a Sunday? If we are prepared to wait in our Saturdays and to watch how the Lord does what the Lord does. Well, while you think about that, can I remind you? It's Sunday today, and it's actually Easter Sunday, and the Lord is risen indeed. Amen. Pray with me. Father God, thank you. Thank you for sending your Son into this world because you love this world compassionately. Thank you, Father God, that we can wait and we can know that even when we go through the anguish of our Fridays and the silence of our Saturdays, that it does not mean that you are not working, because there is the roar of the Lion of Judah on the Sunday when you came out of that grave. Thank you, Lamb of God, that through your blood we are cleansed and washed and made brand new. Thank you, Lion of Judah, that in you we are strong and we live with you. For you are the one who is worthy to open the books that will speak of what God does in this world, and we belong to you. Glory and honor and praise to him who is on the throne, and to the Lamb. Amen.